Folks, if you enjoy our guidance about the management trinity, getting to know your people, talking about performance, asking for more, pushing work down, and our tools are helpful, one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation. The ideal way to learn about implementing them is to come to one of our effective manager conferences. One day, we cover all of the major topics. You practice feedback, you practice coaching, you practice delegation. I can't tell you the number of times people have said to us, wow, I thought I understood the tools. And then when I had to practice, I realized I've taken it to another level. Come to the website, check out our conference schedule, see us all over the U.S. and in Europe and in Asia and in Australia. See you there.
Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, feedback, part two. Here we go. Okay, so let's talk about that model specifically. It's four steps, right? So walk us through the steps. How do we do it?
Yeah, so let me give you the overview real quick. I'm going to say the feedback model again, and then I'll dissect it. It goes like this. Hey, Mike, can I give you some feedback? Mike says yes. Sure. And then I say, when you do X, here's what happens. Step two is when you do X. Step three is here's what happens. And step four is either thank you or could you do that differently? That's all. Four steps. A question. Followed by step one is a question. Steps two and three are behavior and consequence or behavior and impact. And step four is a commitment to new behavior or a commitment to the same behavior in the future. That's all. That's it. Okay. So let's take one step at a time. And by the way, again, let me give you another couple of examples. Hey, Mike, let's role play where you actually say yes. Okay.
Sure. Okay.
Hey, Mike, can I give some feedback?
Sure.
When you're on time for a meeting, it saves us time. Thanks, man.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
Let's do it again. Hey, Mike, can I give some feedback?
Absolutely.
When you're late to a meeting, we have to rearrange the agenda. Can you be on time next week?
Yeah, sure. No problem.
Good. That's it. Folks, those don't sound any different because in my head, in my heart, in my mind, they're not any different. It's just, hey, something was good this morning. I want you to know it because I'm thinking about the future. And something was bad this morning. I want you to change that for the future. That's all. And I'm picturing him doing it right in the future. I assume when I give negative feedback that that is the aberration. That is the standout. That is the outlier in the data. And I know that everybody who works for me is good enough to do it right. And I'm going to say, well, maybe you intended to do it right and it turned out bad. I don't really care. But I have a positive attitude because I'm picturing you're doing it right in the future.
By the way, folks, don't make a mistake. If I'm late again, it gives me feedback a second time. It sounds exactly.
Yeah.
And when I'm late
the
third time, it sounds exactly
the same.
You don't scale it up. Putting more negative emotion into it doesn't make it more effective. If you're focused and you're focused,
it makes it less effective.
Right. So why would you possibly want to put any kind of negative emotion into the second time or the third time? You don't.
No, you don't. It's just feedback. In fact, we have a podcast called Systemic Feedback, and we recommend you wait until six instances. And frankly, six in a really relatively short period of time before you say, okay, we've got a different problem here. Because one of the hallmarks of good feedback is we give it on smaller things. We don't wait. What typical managers do, right, Mike? They wait three months, and you've been late seven times. And then, folks, we're not suggesting that you apply this model to your previous mindset of, I have to wait until there's a pattern of behavior before I talk to them. And then, of course, oh, my God, we have to have I was raised as, that's a come to Jesus meeting. In other words, oh, you're really in trouble. Why don't you come to my office in the day? We need to talk about something. Well, nobody has a good day when their boss tells them that. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about, okay, Mike has a pattern now of being late, and I'm going to be very offhand about it. We don't wait for the pattern to occur. We give feedback about small things, okay? It's the difference between driving down a straight road at 40 miles an hour or, 65 kilometers an hour, and you're driving down the road and the road is straight and you're pointed straight down the road. If you've ever done that, folks, you know what your hand is doing all the time on the top of the road, on the top of the wheel. It's constantly moving a little bit left and right. What most managers do, using the steering analogy, what most managers do is put their hand dead on the top of the wheel, don't move their hand at all. It's a rigid, it's unmoving. And if you don't know it, try it sometimes. Drive down a straight road, put your hand on the top of the wheel and what you believe is straight, and then accelerate to 60 or 70 kilometers an hour, and don't move your hand at all. Weld the wheel in a static position. And in 90 seconds, you will be off the road. Because all kinds of reasons, but you're going to end up off the road. Everybody knows it. You have to make small adjustments. We don't wait until our direct is almost in the ditch because they've done something six times and we've been watching them drift off the road, and then say, okay, now by God, you're going to change your behavior, and jerk them back into the center of the road by saying, you're screwing up and I'm pissed, because that scares them and you delay having the conversation and everybody's miserable afterwards. I mean, think about it, folks. Think about it. Your boss sees you make a mistake. And he notes it, but he doesn't say anything. And then he sees you make the same mistake again. And he notes it, but he doesn't say anything. Wouldn't you rather have him tell you? Wouldn't you rather her actually take you aside and go, hey, look, I've noticed this. Just might want to change it.
No, I like making mistakes, particularly the ones that, you know, even slightly annoy my boss. That's just generally the way I try to promote my career. No, tell me, please.
I've never had somebody say, I never want my boss to talk to me, and if I'm really in trouble because I keep making the same mistake. I did have one young guy once say, Mark, I'll never do that. So what do you mean never? He says, well, I'm self-correcting. I'm a naturally self-correcting kind of person. So if I see myself make a mistake two or three times, I'll know it. I'll get back on track. And I'm like, no, dude, no, really, you're not. You're smoking crack there, son. Grow up a little bit and come back and see me in 5 years when you realize that. Life is going to punch you in the nose at some point.
Yes, it will.
Or one of your bosses will. Yeah. So look, everybody wants it. Everybody wants to know sooner. So we're talking about the first time you see something, good or bad, fairly small, we address it. And we start with step one of the model. And step one of the model is we ask, and the simple way to ask is, can I give you some feedback? Now let's do something a little bit different, Mike. Let's do something a little bit different here in this cast. I know many of you are listening to us while you're driving, while you're commuting, while you're running, while you're mowing your lawn, while you're doing laundry, while you're doing chores. Maybe you're listening at your desk, but I dare you right now, repeat after me out loud, not under your breath, out loud. So somebody within a couple of feet of you, not 10 feet away, but a couple of feet of you, could hear you say, I'm going to give you a series of questions and I want you to repeat the question back to the dead air that I'm going to allow you time to repeat it. And we'll start with, can I give you some feedback? May I give you some feedback? Can we talk about that? Can we talk about what just happened? Can I share something with you? Can I make an observation? Those are all totally legitimate. You don't, and by the way, many of people say to us, oh, I don't like the word feedback. It's dumb. It's casting about looking for an enemy, right? I don't like that word feedback. Some of the technical people we work with say, Mark, feedback is bad. I say, yeah, with microphones, it's bad, right? Feedback makes a screeching noise. But actually, almost every high-tech or highly engineered system has all kinds of feedback systems in it in order to check whether or not everything is within tolerance. I mean, there's a good bit of industrial machinery that 10 to 20 to 30% of it is just literally feedback systems to make sure the machine doesn't tear itself apart. If it gets out of tolerance, it shuts itself down or it sends out an alert saying something's not right. I measured myself and there's a problem.
That's how an autopilot works, right? It really is not asking you, are you on track or not? It's really asking, how far off are you? Because almost 99% of the time you are off, right? And the reason it works so well is because it gives you feedback as soon as you get off course, not after you're 90 degrees to your intended course of flight. Right?
Yeah.
It tells you immediately when you're one half of 1 degree off.
Yeah. If you're on the East Coast of the United States and you're flying to the West Coast of the United States, your flight path doesn't look like a sine wave that goes from Canada to Mexico.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It looks like a bunch of very short, very straight lines that deviate no more than a few meters from the due east-west line, right? But it's never actually flying straight. It's just making small adjustments because it measures itself frequently. It's constantly asking, how far away from the line am I? Ooh, I'm 10 meters away. I need to make a small adjustment. And then I get back onto the line, and then I need to come back the other way. Yeah.
And most managers, if you take the analogy, right, they give feedback once a year during the annual evaluation.
Yeah.
And it looks more like the plane that's oscillating between Mexico and Canada, right?
Yeah, it's like you're in Canada. And the guy's like, okay, I started out in New York. I was flying to LA. No. I started out in Washington, D.C. I'm going to San Francisco, which, by the way, folks, are generally in the midpoint of the United States on the East Coast and the West Coast. And you saw me fly over Pennsylvania, which is north of D.C. You saw me fly over New York. And now you tell me I'm in Canada? Holy Toledo, or even better, maybe first they go south and then they start going north and they fly over Tennessee and over Indiana and over Illinois and over Wisconsin and over Minnesota. And then they end up over North Dakota in Saskatchewan. And the guy goes, what? You let me? Why didn't you talk to me in Minnesota or Wisconsin or even Chicago?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a really bad maybe analogy, but since Mike's a pilot, we'll go with it. But yeah, I mean, who would want their boss to wait until they were in Canada? Why waste the gas? It's just dumb. Now, this is an important point. I want you all to get this. The reason step one is so important. In fact, I've said to groups before, if you're not willing to ask step one, don't tell people you learned the feedback model from us. It is an important placeholder in the model, okay? When you are talking to your directs, you have to recognize that when you talk to your directs about their performance, they are going to be sensitized to that. They're going to be a little bit concerned, is this good or bad? And by the way, when you first ask, hey, can I give some feedback? You don't say, can I give you some positive feedback or can I give some negative feedback? It's always the same. Can I give some feedback or can we talk about that? Or can I share something with you? Can I make an observation? Can I make a comment? Can we talk about your performance? It's always a question. It's not, hey, I want to make a comment about your performance. It's not, hey, I have some feedback for you. It's, may I, can I give you some feedback?
Why is that important? Like, I'm the boss, so don't I have the right to give them feedback? I'm responsible for giving them feedback, and so
okay.
Why do I have to ask them for the permission?
Yeah,
to fulfill my job responsibilities. And number two,
like, we're not asking. Permission.
Would anybody ever actually say no to me? Not to me.
Yeah, the answer to that is yes. In fact, we've gotten many emails from managers who say, it was great. She said, yeah. She said, no. We tell managers all the time, when your directs tell you no, it's a breakthrough because they're acknowledging that you really mean it when you say, hey, can I give some feedback? And we have a phrase that we often use when it comes to delegation. Many of you will want to write this down, and it is never ask a direct a question whose answer you don't intend to honor. I'm going to say it again. Never ask your directs a question whose answer you don't intend to honor. I see far too many managers, this happens truly in our delegation model and in the feedback model and in all kinds of other things, when they're not doing it our recommended way, what they say is, hey, can you take this over or can you do this for me? And the direct says, no, I'm sorry, I'm swamped. And the manager says, I'm sorry, I don't think you're hearing me. Will you do this? And the direct goes, oh, okay. And I got to tell you something, guys, that is one of the most corrosive things you do as a manager. You imply by the question that their answer matters, and then you tell them it didn't matter as much as you thought. I have role power, and I have just acted as if my relationship with you should cause you to want to do something. But when my relationship fails, I will mandate that you do what I was willing to ask you for, but I never intended to take no for an answer. You do that for a while, and your directs will begin to believe that every question you ask is going to be followed by an order, and no question you ever ask will ever be taken seriously as an honest effort for you to understand. If you've done that before, and you wonder why in your meetings, your directs, when you ask, what does everybody think? Nobody says anything. It's because you've told them your answers don't mean jack crap to me. I'm going to get what I want from you. And I'll tell you the opinion that you're going to give me when I expect to get it. It is one of the corrosive things that managers do. Oh, I'll be nice, but look, they got to know that I got to have this. So if they're not smart enough to know that they ought to be rewarding me for my niceness, then I'll shove it down their throats. Yeah. Your directs shouldn't have to reward you for their – we don't recommend your directs reward you for your niceness. Be nice because being nice is a professionally effective thing to do. But if you intend to get somebody to do something, or if you don't intend to honor their answer, don't ask. Just tell them. Just tell them.
It's the same reason why your folks, or at least my folks, laugh at my jokes. I'm not a funny guy. Yet all of a sudden, during a staff meeting, I tell a joke and everybody laughs. Why is that?
Yeah. Well, the phrase I always use at the conference is, folks, if you're a manager, listen here. They don't laugh at your jokes because they're funny. They laugh at them because they're yours. Right? Like, yeah. I mean, how many times, you know, privately on, you see it all the time where people come out of a meeting. Can you believe that guy thinks that's funny? That's not funny. Right? Yeah, that's not funny. Yeah. That wasn't funny right there. Okay. All right. So look, we asked a question. Can I give you some feedback? Can we talk about that? Can I share something with you? Okay. Now, there's two parts of this answer. That was a long sort of aside there, Mike, but there's two parts of this answer. The first part is we have to go back and remember why we're talking to them, why we're giving them feedback, the purpose of feedback. And the second part is I got to address your thing about what do we do if they say no? Okay. The reason we're asking is built on the purpose of feedback, which is to encourage effective future behavior. In other words, the purpose of this conversation is not to talk about what already happened. There's nothing we can do about what already happened, right? You might as well sit around and reminisce about your college days, your high school days, your university days, your grades and your years in upper form, because ain't nothing going to change there. You're not being effective, that's for sure. Being nostalgic is not being effective when it comes to work productivity, okay? So we're talking about encouraging their effective future behavior. That's what we're doing. When we talk to directs, when we give feedback, the purpose is to encourage their effective future behavior. So, Mike, you tell me, whose behavior are we talking about when we talk to our directs? Yeah, the directs. Yeah, okay, good. Okay. So that's the purpose of the feedback model, is to talk to our direct about their future behavior. That's it. Okay. Who controls the direct's future behavior?
Well, I'd like to answer me as the boss, but I know that's not true. Only the direct, right? Obviously.
Yeah, control is an illusion, right? You don't control anybody. The only person who controls the direct's future behavior is the direct, right? Or if you think you control your directs, pretty soon all you're going to be doing is standing around giving orders. You're not going to be very productive or very effective. You're going to be grossly inefficient really, really fast. That's slavery. That's what that is, okay? You don't control people, okay? So the direct controls his future behavior. We're going to talk about the direct's future behavior. What good would it do for me as a manager if Mike works for me to start talking to him about his effective behavior in the future and the fact that I want it to be effective if he's not listening to me? Well, I mean, what good would that do, Mike, for me to talk to you if you're busy doing something else?
Were you talking to me?
Yeah.
I was doing something else. Yeah, obviously. If I'm busy, if I'm focused on something else, and you want to share this with me with the hope that you're going to change my future behavior, it's not going to work, right? It's just air coming out of your mouth. It's not going to make a bit of difference.
Right. But wait a minute, Mike. You should listen to me, though. I'm your boss. Why aren't you mandated to listen to me?
Dude, in my old life, half my boss's staff meetings, I was doing something else. So I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. I shouldn't admit that here, but.
Yeah, where was I? I had a meeting recently at a client. And every single young person in the room, the only person that didn't have their laptop open was the GM that was running the meeting. And I was in the meeting, and they all had their laptops open. And I started looking, and they had all kinds of windows open on their desktop. They had browsers open and email open. I'm like, are you kidding me? I took one guy aside and said, if you ever want to amount to anything, shut that damn laptop while your boss's boss is running a meeting. Oh, I was taking notes. Fine, show them to me. Oh, they're kind of in the middle of an email. Show them to me. Yeah. Open it up.
The middle of it.
And the guy's like, well, it'd be hard for you to read them. I said, you know what? I'll believe it when I see it. Show me the notes. And he said, I really took crappy notes. So in other words, I'm not going to call you a liar. You just weren't taking good notes. Or why bother taking notes if they weren't any good, right? Exactly. And why bother? By the way, why did you bring a notebook as well? Well, sometimes I have to write something down. Really? You got that laptop up. Why don't you just type it in? Well, sometimes I write stuff down. I looked at him. I said, you think we're idiots? I said, the general manager is like levels above God to you. And no offense, folks. And you're sitting there typing. Do you think he thinks you're taking notes? Oh, I'm sure he does. You're smoking crack, son. He's not. He thinks you're doing email, and it pisses him off. And no offense, because you don't work for me, I'll tell you something. This isn't feedback. Don't be in a meeting again where I see you open a laptop. He was like looking at me like, ooh. And he kind of gave me a look, and I like, all I'll tell you is that guy's boss is the one that hired me. Are you kidding?
Well, back to my point. Like, so if you're talking to me and I'm not listening, there's no communication happening. You're speaking.
Exactly.
Right. There's no communication happening. I have to hear it and I have to process it for the communication to happen. So that's why you ask. If the person's not ready to listen to it, then don't give it then. Give it later or don't give it at all, since it's usually pretty small anyways.
If your direct can't hear it because her husband just called her and she needs to go pick up the kids, or his wife just called and he needs to go pick up the kids, or his kids just called and said they're late for an appointment, or a fellow manager called and said you're late for a meeting, or payroll just called and said there's a problem with his paycheck, or legal just called and said you need to come down and sign this form, this employment form, or the CEO just called and said you're late for a meeting. All of those things are legitimate reasons for that person to be distracted. And if the direct is distracted when you're talking to her about her future behavior, she's not going to hear you. And if she can't hear you, what are the chances that this conversation will in fact influence future behavior? It won't. The reason we ask is not because we want permission, but because what we're talking about is their future behavior. And they are the only one that control their future behavior. So it doesn't make any sense to talk if they're not ready to listen. All we're wanting to do is making sure they're ready to listen. That's all. So suppose, Mike, you were my boss and you said, Mark, can I give you some feedback? And I said, I'm really sorry, boss. I would love to, but I'm late to a meeting. Can I catch you later? And so essentially what I've done is I've said no. Why wouldn't you then say, but wait, I'm going to give you some feedback? What would be the reason not to?
You're not ready to listen to me. Like, I want to talk about your future performance, and you're sitting there thinking about how you're late to the meeting, or you got to give a presentation. You're thinking about your presentation,
right?
And there's just a thousand things you could be going through your head that get between me and the message I'm trying to deliver.
Yeah. And what's more, you've asked me, I've said no, you're then going to overrule me. Now I don't like you at all.
Oh, yeah.
So, and the moment that I really dislike you, at that moment, how good am I going to be listening to you when I really think you're a jerk?
Right.
Not well at all.
Yeah.
And if I'm not listening well, it doesn't matter how clever you put it, there's no communication happening. Because communication, as you alluded to, is what the listener does, not what the speaker does.
I think part of that is if I ask a question, right? We already talked about, you know, honoring the no, right? If you ask a question, somebody says no,
right,
and you got to honor it. But feedback for us is no big deal, right? So if I ask a question.
No big deal.
Do you want to listen to it? You know, can you hear some feedback? And you say no. And then I proceed anyways. It basically says to me, well, it is a big deal, right? Just by
virtue
of the fact that you asked me a question, I said no, and you gave it to me anyway, it says, hey, this is a big deal, and I have to sit up and pay attention. And that is counter to our whole idea of what feedback is.
Yeah. Well, the road analogy is putting your hand on top of the wheel and not giving any feedback until they're almost in the ditch and jerking them around. Or, obviously, if you're almost in the ditch and you don't talk to them then they're going to be in the ditch and it's going to be bad. There's going to be consequences. There's going to be danger, fear, job loss, whatever. But if you're driving down the road and you're paying attention and you're making small adjustments, like that autopilot's making small adjustments, but you're only a meter or two off, or in the car, you're 6 inches off of the line you were on. If you miss one of those small corrections, there's no risk at all, right? You're just going to make a slightly bigger, but still small correction later. There will be no noticing in the car. There won't be all of a sudden. You don't miss one small correction in a car going down a straight road and then end up in the ditch. You have to ignore lots of data that you're starting to get pretty close to the darn ditch. Oh my gosh. There's 20 corrections you'd probably have a chance to make based on how frequently you're watching the car and the road, as our analogy here for whether or not performance and behavior are intolerance or not. And so if you miss one of those small corrections, nobody in the car will notice, least of all the driver.
Wait a second, though. What if you do something, negative? There's some negative performance that you do, some mistake you make, right? And I ask you if I can give you feedback, and you say no, right? Okay, so I honor the no. I walk away thinking I'm going to get feedback.
Right, later. You walk away.
All right, and I don't give it.
Hold on 1 second. I just want to make clear. When Mike says he walks away, he doesn't walk away upset. He asked me if I had a moment. He's going to talk to me about a small thing. I say no, and Mike's like, it's no big deal. He knows it's a small thing. He knows I probably could correct it, but he also knows I'm saying no at the time. and he walks away whistling. He's happy. He's fine. He's like, oh, okay, it's a bad time for Mark.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I don't okay, now continue. Yeah, exactly.
Right, okay.
Okay, so I don't give you the feedback. I intend to give it to you later, and I forget about it, right? Or I decide, well, okay, you're going to do it again. Well, what happens if you never do it again? I don't have the opportunity to give you feedback.
Oh, you've missed.
Right? I mean, don't I have to talk to you about it, even if you never do it again?
It's hard for me to ask stupid questions like that.
But, I know, yeah. Dude. I know this is a setup question, right? You're not really asking that. Yeah, so right. Let's be clear. Mike just said he asked to give me feedback. He really wants to tell me you need to change your behavior on this. I'd like you to change your behavior. Would you please change your behavior? But I say no, because I'm busy doing something else. I didn't know he was going to walk up. He was going to walk by my cube and realized, ooh, I need to talk to Mark about that thing he did this morning. No big deal. I'll mention it to him now. It'll only take a second. And then all of a sudden I go, dude, I'm so sorry, but I'm late to a meeting. I got to go. I'll catch you later. Okay. And then maybe you forget and I forget. And you're saying you owe it to me to have the conversation, even if over the next 5 or 10 or 15 days, I don't do it again. That's what your concern is, that you feel obligated to have the conversation.
Yeah, to be clear, it's not my concern, yeah. But I guarantee you it's a concern of some people listening.
Yeah. Okay, but here it is, Mike. So let me talk to you as if you're that guy out there in the audience going, well, why wouldn't, what do I do? How do I have the conversation? Do I have to make a note to myself and circle back later in the day? And the answer is no, because Mike, you tell me now, what was the purpose of you talking to me to begin with? You're the manager. I'm the direct. Why are you talking to me? What's the purpose of the feedback conversation?
My whole objective here is to get you to change your future performance, right? If you're late, I want you to be on time next time. That's it.
Is it important that we have the conversation, or is it important that I change my behavior in the future?
I may have some emotional need to let you know you made a mistake. But yeah. The fact is, from
not my issue.
Role as a manager,
not my issue.
The only thing I care about is your future performance.
Yeah. So you're telling me that after you didn't get a chance to give me feedback and you forgot, or I forgot, or you think I'm avoiding you, it doesn't matter. For the next 2 weeks, I engage in the behavior you want me to engage in, right?
Yeah.
And your question to me is, do you need to have the conversation? I would ask you, do you need to have a conversation with me if maybe through randomness, it really was an error and I knew it was an error at the time and I won't make that mistake again, or I know you were intending to talk to me about me being late as an example and I self-correct. Do you really care whether you have the conversation with me or not if in fact I self-correct?
No, not really.
No. Why? Because the purpose of the conversation was achieved. And I have to tell you something. When managers say, well, no, I need to have the conversation with them, I would say, literally, you want to take time to have a conversation that clearly has been proven to not be necessary? What do you not know about productivity, about doing things that are unnecessary? The purpose of this conversation would be to get Mike to change Mark's behavior, or actually to talk to Mark about Mark changing Mark's behavior, and Mark actually changes behavior without a talking to. This is a self-licking ice cream cone. Why wouldn't you want directs who automatically corrected their behavior when they realized they were out of tolerance?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So the answer is, if I say no and you forget or I forget, the only question becomes whether or not I change the behavior. Now, that said, what if I change my behavior for 5 days, but in 7 days, I then make the mistake again? Well, at 7 days, generally, that's long enough to think you wouldn't give me feedback 7 days later about something that happened a week ago. And as a good general rule, folks, 1 week is as long as you should go. If you say to yourself, I could absolutely talk to him 6 months from now about this incident, that's probably a bigger incident than something that needs feedback for. In other words, they went from the center of the road to the ditch in a billionth of a second, and it was scary for you, and that was a significant impact. And so you said, well, we need to sit down. We need to talk about that. That's not feedback, okay? That's somebody striking an employee or somebody cheating or something really, really bad. But the vast majority of things are feedback. There's probably a little bit of stuff that's between firing and feedback that people do all of a sudden that they wouldn't get fired for, but it is significant. And you'd probably sit them down and talk to them and say, don't let that happen again. But the vast majority, 99, 95% of things that people do are preceded by small errors along the way, which is when you address feedback, when you use the feedback model. And generally speaking, if something's taken, if it's been more than a week, it's so long ago the person is going to feel like if it's negative feedback, they're going to have been punished by you waiting more than a week. And the beauty of it is you might say, well, gee, do I need to talk to them? And again, we go back to the conversation Mike and I just had. You don't need to talk to them because if in fact it's been a week and they have made the mistake again, we're starting over again. Now, if they make the mistake again, we don't mention that they made it twice. You just mentioned the most frequent mistake, the most recent mistake. Mike would say to me, hey, Mark, when you're late, I worry about you. Can you be on time? Sure. In my head, I know darn well I was late 10 days ago, but Mike doesn't need to mention it. Maybe Mike gave me some grace, or maybe Mike came by my desk and intended to give it to me. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm busy, I'm late. And Mike forgot and I forgot. And it's not that big a deal. It's just a second correction. It's slightly bigger than the first one. But the second time you give feedback, it's still just feedback. It sounds just like the first time. And it's not for both instances. It's only for the most recent instance.
Okay, so let me go back in. You said earlier, I just want to make sure we hit that. If I ask you, can I give you some feedback? And you say no, right? The answer is, I walk away. I honor the no. I just walk away. I don't get mad. I don't get upset. I just walk away.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, I've done that with Wendy. Hey, can I give some feedback? And Wendy in the beginning didn't like negative feedback, but I had an obligation, so I give her negative feedback. And she's learned. It's not a big deal. I'm not upset. And by the way, the best way your directs learn that you're not upset is that you're actually not upset. Yeah. Or you fake it a little bit. But if she says no, you just walk away. Like, oh, okay, it's no big deal. Yeah, I don't care.
Good.
And I know one of two things is going to be true. You're going to do it again. If I forget to have a conversation with you about this tomorrow, I tried today, but you were busy. I mentioned it again tomorrow. Frankly, 95% of the time, folks, when you start using the feedback model, and you tell your people in advance, this is how it's going to sound. And you stop by their desk and you say, hey, you got a minute for some feedback. And they say no. They will go to the next meeting and wonder whether or not it's positive or negative and what you're going to talk to them about. And 95% of the time, they're going to come back by your office and say, oh, yeah, what was that feedback about? Secretly, they're hoping that you're going to pat them on the back and give them positive feedback. And that'd be great. Or if it's negative feedback, they just want to know what it was because they may have forgotten or they just want to validate what they think it is, which they're pretty sure they know what it is. But for the 5% of the time where the direct forgets and you forget, it's okay. It's totally fine because a week later, either they will have done it again or not, and you'll have another opportunity.
Good.
Simple. So honor the no. When somebody says no, you just walk away. And as I said earlier, when they say no and you walk away, it's a great moment because they've learned that you intend to honor it. They wouldn't say no for any other reason. Now, if they turn to you and say, I can't believe you think you can give me negative feedback, the first thing you say is, well, I didn't say it was going to be negative. Now, if you've delivered it as, hey, can I give you some feedback? Well, then you've probably given the indication that it's going to be negative, and that's a shame on you. If you genuinely have said, hey, can I give some feedback? And it's a polite tone. You're picturing them doing it right in the future. You're over being mad if you were ever mad about what they did this morning. And if they get all huffy and say, I can't believe, you know, I know what you're going to talk to me about. You just say, you know what? Let's do this some other time. And you turn around and walk away. Because what they're saying, even if they say, yeah, fine, go ahead. What they're saying is, no, I'm not of a mindset to listen to you talk to me about my future behavior. Because I'm upset about you talking to me or about what happened this morning or about what my kids said to me or about what my coworker said to me or I just don't like you. Look, there ain't no way they're going to be thinking about changing their future behavior if it's negative feedback. Now, I will tell you 100 times, if not more in my life, I have said to a direct, hey, can I give some feedback? And they say, fine, whatever. And I'm like, well, if now's not a good time. I mean, if I get a hint of a yes, but I read that as a no, and I answer it, I respond as if I've been given a no, because I know what they're wanting to do is say, you can say the words, but I'm going to withhold judgment on whether or not I agree with you. But that then defeats the whole purpose of the conversation, which is about their effective future behavior. And so when they say, yeah, whatever, I'm going to say, no, really, sorry, I let's not do it. When they come back to me, go, no, it's okay. I said, no, the purpose of feedback is for us to talk about your future behavior. Doesn't seem like you're ready, which is good, dude. Sometimes I have bad days too. We'll just let it go. We'll talk about it some other time, or maybe it'll happen next week, whatever. If they then come back to me and go, no, seriously, I'm good. I admit, maybe it makes me a small person, folks. Maybe you can judge me if you like. Although, remind you, there's a part in the Bible that says, judgment is mine, saith the Lord. But if you want to judge me, that's fine. For my secret bit of joy, when some direct assumes it's going to be negative and gives me the pushback, and I go, look, okay, no, it's not. And they go, no, I can take it. I say, you sure now? Because I don't want you to be in a bad mood. No, Mark, it's okay. It's fine. I'm ready. And I say, hey, when you take a little extra time on the report and the report is perfect, I really appreciate it. Thank you. And then they feel about 1 inch tall. I'm just like, dude. Evil man. And then I say to them, dude, you thought, yeah, I know. I feel bad. I feel judged right now. I want you all to know that I feel judged, right? I feel the judgment happening after the fact. I'll tell you, I admit it. I feel small because I'm like, yeah, that'll teach you, dude. Here I am wanting to give you a little pat on the back, some positive feedback. And you got all up in somebody's business about why I was being mad. I was being mean. I was being a bad boss. And here I am just wanting to say thank you. And you know what? I may have poked you with an umbrella, but you got mad all by yourself.
There you go.
I mean, and by the way, that happens a lot more often if you give more positive than negative feedback, which we'll talk about later as we recommend.
Thanks, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. And join us back here for part 3 next time. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.